You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload, the pop and geek culture show that's always on the run from about 30 to 50 feral hogs. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
Oh, we have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we have been checking out.
What have we been checking out?
Let's do it.
Oh.
Let's see. I started replaying the original Legend of Zelda again.
Oh, okay. Oh,
it's been a while since I've played it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's frustratingly difficult at times.
Are you making the map? Huh? Are you doing the map? Are you
drawing own map?
Yes. No, I am not.
Okay.
I have a very old strategy guide.
Mm. Okay.
Oh, cool.
It's not as old as you think. It's from the Zelda Collector's Edition.
Oh. Mm. Still fairly old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really have a lot of information on the overworld. I mean, it kind of mentions where things are, but not exactly specifically.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it doesn't give it away. You still got to work at it a little.
Oh, I do. Yeah, you do. I had to look up the Lost Woods, though, because I got lost in the Lost Woods.
I can never remember what that pattern is.
North, west, southwest. But then I was trying to go to the graveyard to get the magic sword, and I forgot that you need at least 12 hearts before it'll appear.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, crap.
And the game doesn't tell you this. You just got to find it out on your own.
Yep.
It's very obtuse, very mysterious.
Though I did find the white sword by accident.
It's just up that stairs.
Yeah, well, I was just kind of like steeping around, and then I'm like, I'd already finished dungeon one, and I'm like, just going around the map. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, upgraded
sword.
You get
past this Lionel, and then you're there.
Man, but like, some of those dungeons, like, and I'm at to the point now where hearts aren't really dropping that frequently, and it's really frustrating.
Yeah, it's a lot more skill-based than a lot of the later Zeldas are by a long shot.
Yeah, and I really hate the enemies that pop out of the ground, because they always get me.
Landmola?
Yeah, I think so. The spinny, drilly ones.
Yep, that's Landmola.
God, I hate it.
Now, after you go through this, are you going to go into Adventures of Link?
Two? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The two?
You're in for even more fun.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't have a game genie for this one.
What are you playing it on? Are you playing it on the Switch?
Yeah, the retro console on the Switch.
Yeah, NES Online.
Nice.
Yeah. Which gets more of a hard time than it deserves.
Mm-hmm. Mostly from you.
Yeah, it's a good feature to have, and there's plenty of games there, and you can have a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has a lot.
Yeah.
It even has Mario 2, the kind of pseudo non-canon Mario.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the Lost Levels?
Oh, it has that too.
Oh.
Yeah, it has both the Lost Levels and it has Super Mario. Well, in Japan, it's called Super Mario USA.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And it's got Dr. Mario and NES Open.
Yeah.
I started Metroid a while back,
yeah,
the original Metroid, and I ran into a very serious problem where I got super turned around and couldn't continue.
If you appreciate NES Online for what it is instead of what it
could be,
what it could be or what we didn't get, which was all of the Virtual Console,
yeah,
it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's really nice with my Switch NES controllers.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
Battery on those lasts forever. I've charged them once.
Nice.
It's like my Xbox controllers. Those things last forever. It makes the PlayStation 4 controller seem ridiculous because it lasts like maybe 3 hours, whereas the Xbox one is like forever, like 3 months.
I mean, my Pro controller lasts a long time too.
Yeah, those last a long time also.
But no, it's, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the Zelda games and everything, but it's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Like I wandered into one dungeon and it was like completely dark all the time. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't have the candle yet.
It's like that old cigarette catchphrase. We've come a long way, baby. What cigarette brand is that?
Oh, I
Virginia
have,
Slims?
I think so.
I think it's
that
Virginia
might be.
Slims.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot there's like, as much as I love the Zelda franchise and I've played almost all of them, there are some I've never played. Like Zelda 2.
You never played Zelda 2?
I think I started it back when it came out, because I remember when my dad got it for our NES, and I remember I was not liking it as a young kid, and then I just never really went back.
Yeah, I didn't like Zelda the first time I played it when I was a kid, because my soft, dumb child brain didn't get it. Like, I understood Mario, you know, go to the right, and you win, but Zelda has so much more going on, and I just didn't grok it at the time because I was six.
Sure, sure.
Also, that really obtuse way you had to save games.
It hold the reset button and hit power.
Yeah.
And also, you can only save after you die or something.
Maybe. I can't remember. Though I got really mad because I was running around. I'm like, I need the big shield. I need the big shield. And I saved up and bought the big shield for like 160 rupees and then wandered into some other cave some other dude had for like 90. And I'm like,
You should have shopped around first.
Yeah, I tried. Right? The world being as simple as it is, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's impressive how much they were able to squeeze into one cartridge.
Onto that chipset.
Yeah.
And I don't think it has any special mapper chips or anything. No. It's just standard.
It's just basic standard, sure.
Or like when you take like a hit and it knocks you off screen and does that pause as it shifts the screen over. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You're like, okay. Other than that, yeah, I'm trying to go back. Like I found a bunch of Zelda games that I'm like sitting on now to go through the series.
Nice.
I found a Wii copy of Skyward Sword.
Oh, with the floppy.
Yeah, with
you have to actually swing the sword with your Wiimote.
I'm not looking forward to that, but Skyward Sword was another one of those titles that I've never played.
I like it. It gets a lot of, it's a very diversive one because people don't like the motion controls, but it has a lot of interesting features to it. And if you can get it in the sweet spot where it works all the time, like the right distance from your TV or whatever, it's a pretty fun game.
Yeah. No, it's actually funny that you were talking about Zelda. I started listening to a podcast called Tandem Legends. It is a episode by episode talk through of the different Zelda games in not release order, but like in history, like the Hyrule history order. So they started with Skyward Sword.
Because that's the one that technically starts the timeline.
Right. And they're not like, it's not like a, now you go into this room and push this block or anything, but they're like telling kind of like the story as it progresses through each. I've started from the beginning. They're up through, they're working on Majora's Mask now, which is pretty cool. The first couple episodes were a little shaky. The two hosts came off a lot like NPR hosts for those first couple episodes, but it's fun. It's a neat podcast. It's worth checking out.
How are they tackling the timeline split between the two realities?
I think three. There's three.
Oh, yeah, because there's the adult timeline, like Link's victory.
Mm-hmm.
There's the child timeline.
And basketball. The basketball timeline.
And then there's
Mario Kart.
And then there's the hero's fail.
That's timeline. Basketball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's from the Brian David Gilbert video. He said, you know, it's like his friend invited him over to watch him beat Ocarina of Time, and then he couldn't do it, so they gave up and played basketball. That's that timeline.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think what they're doing is they've picked one timeline and are going through that game to its conclusion, and then looping back and doing another timeline, and then looping back, and they're going to finish it up with Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I'm trying to do game release chronological order.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which I have to find, like, Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons.
It's on the virtual console for the 3DS.
Oh, okay. I'll have to figure that out at some point, too.
They're both very good and should not be passed up.
Though, didn't they re-release those on the GBA, though?
No.
You might have seen a pirated...
Yeah. You could play it on the GBA.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
I've still been going through Fire Emblem. It continues to impress.
Oh, cool.
Like, I think it's one of the best Switch games that's come out so far, to be completely honest. It's very good.
Are you saying that maybe as somebody who really likes the Fire Emblem franchise?
No. Well, I've always liked the Fire Emblem franchise, but I've never been like a Fire Emblem like super fan or anything.
Now, this one has like a lot of Persona like
time management
stuff and that sort of thing. I've also heard that beyond like the, you know, your main player character creating like, you know, emotional links with other characters, other people on each like...
Yeah,
NPCs.
Every character has social connections between all the other ones, and they level up their social connections, and then when those two units are next to each other in battle, they'll perform a little bit better.
See, that's awesome.
That is a cool mechanic. I like that.
It's a fantastic game. Like, everybody should get it.
Even for someone like me who's not a huge fan of strategy RPGs?
Yeah, I think you'd like it.
Okay.
I mean, working through and like leveling up these characters and min-maxing all the different characters would be fun for you, I think.
Okay, yeah, that does sound like right up my alley. And, okay.
And that's what I did in Tactics a lot.
Yeah,
and Fantasy Tactics.
You did like the mobile game, right? The battles and
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I did enjoy
same,
that. Oh, it's the
it's
same
the
thing.
Same battle system, just oh, okay. bigger.
Oh, okay. Right on. Very cool. Speaking of tactic games, I did pick up Chroma Squad, which is a game we reviewed years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
I still have it on my Steam.
Yeah, I think I do too. But
as do I.
They finally ported it over to the Switch. And I tell you what, it makes that game so much nicer to be able to just sit on your couch.
Oh, yeah.
And hang out and play a few levels and then put it down. It's a lot of fun. I don't know what else to say about it. It's just a lot of fun.
You know,
it's
a almost, seal of approval review right there.
It certainly is. But yeah, it's just, it almost seems like it was made for handheld gaming.
Maybe you should
gaming.
Let people know who don't remember what
Chroma Squad was. Chroma Squad, it was a kind of a parody take on like Power Rangers or Super Sentai, but it's also a tactics game where like you have your five actors who are fighting against other actors and the monsters are people in costumes. Although I guess at one point, spoiler, there ends up being actual aliens and these actors fight them. But there's like a crafting stuff to build better costumes.
Better costumes, better props.
Yeah, everything starts out as like cardboard and garbage. Mm-hmm. And as you get more money and get more sponsors and stuff.
Yeah, like you level up and your gloves go from like gardening gloves to like
Tailored gloves,
that sort of thing.
Like you stop wearing like a bucket with a hole cut into it, don't maybe an actual helmet.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a lot of fun. It's definitely worth picking up because it's like $10. And I mean, anyone could afford $10.
I tell you, I cannot wait for Castle Crashers to drop on the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's one of my favorite beat-em-up games.
Mm-hmm. You know, we never talked about Doom on the Switch.
Let's talk about Doom on the Switch.
Let's talk about Doom on the Switch. I've only played the first one. That's the only one I bought. And it's not the best emulation of Doom I've ever played. The music is a little slow and the sound effects are a little off, but it still plays pretty good and it's Doom and it's still fun. It's hard to mess up Doom and it seems like they kind of tried, but they didn't do it. Still fun.
Which one had Doom Versus? Is that the first one or the second one?
What are you talking about?
There's a multiplayer version of Doom.
All Doom is multiplayer.
Is it?
Yeah. It's like the first game to have deathmatch in it.
Huh.
And co-op.
I guess I never really tried it.
Yeah, and both Doom and Doom 2 have local co-op and deathmatch on the Switch. So you can have your own little LAN party like in the old days, but just with your Switch and no cables.
Nice.
But it's good. It's only $5, so it's worth the $5 and the having to put in your Bethesda account ID to be able to play it. They said they're patching that out though.
Oh, they are? Okay.
It was an accident apparently. That was just there for bonus features tied to your account.
Okay. Yeah.
Like because I had played it on the Switch and tied it to my Bethesda account. When I played Wolfenstein, I got like an extra skin or whatever.
Oh, right on.
The new Wolfenstein?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Youngblood. But yeah, it's if you like Doom, you'll like this Doom because it's mostly the same. I haven't played Doom 3 yet, though. I figured I'll get there after I finish the other two.
I haven't played Doom 3 since it came out either.
It's good, especially this version's a little updated, I think. I think you can have a flashlight and a gun out at the same time.
Cool. I've only played very limited amounts of Doom because, yeah, I get motion sick watching the screen flip around.
Wow, and it doesn't even have like a Y axis. You're just turning on the
about 45 minutes on the X. and I will start getting a little seasick. Yeah, it's the weirdest thing.
Probably still will on this one too, so maybe don't.
Maybe I'll keep that $5.
You think they'll bring out the original Wolfenstein now?
I don't know. I don't think that's as playable as the original Doom is. Because the levels are legit mazes. There's not that many wall textures. And every level turns into a maze with no auto map, and it's not even as close to as fun as Doom is, I don't think.
Okay.
I just remember when the first Wolfenstein was coming out, or the first new Wolfenstein was coming
Return to Castle Wolfenstein?
No, after that. The first one of the current series.
Oh, I think it's just called Wolfenstein. Are you talking about the alternate timeline Wolfenstein?
Alternate timeline Wolfenstein.
Okay, that is...
That new Colossus?
The new Colossus.
No, not new Colossus.
It's the New Order, the Old Blood, and the New Colossus are the three. And then Youngblood are all the new series Wolfenstein games.
The first one in the new line.
So the New Order.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
It took us a minute, but we got there.
But I remember when that came out and they released the original Wolfenstein on 360 because I had it.
Yeah.
I played it a lot.
I think you can get it for free on your phone. You could for some time. I don't know if they've taken it down by now. They probably taken it down by now.
I don't know. I was just wondering, like old style shooter games.
Mm. Well, in the new Colossus, you can play the entirety of the original Wolfenstein, but it's alternate history Wolfenstein, where you play as a heroic Nazi fighting BJ Blazkowicz.
Oh, I remember that. It was like an arcade machine.
And they right changed the entire game to fit the alternate timeline. It's pretty interesting.
Huh.
Though I remember playing through New Order when you found the old, like the weird little retro bed spots and you could play through like the dream sequences of classic Wolfenstein.
Yeah, the nightmare levels.
Yeah. Hmm. Kind of wondering like if we're like in an age, like it seems like we're in an age of reboots for as far as video games go.
We definitely are.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering what other titles might get, I don't know, rebooted or a new version or...
I wish they'd do a Commander Keen that was not trash.
Well, yeah. Math Blaster's looking...
Yeah. Like, I'm okay with mobile phone games. I don't get mad when they make a new series on the phone. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I saw gameplay that, I'm like, oh, that's trash.
Yeah, it doesn't look fun or good.
This looks like Math Blaster. It does. It 100% looks like Math Blasters.
Well, one thing that I'll talk about real quick. So I sat and watched a couple episodes of an old Cartoon Network show called Mega's XLR. Do you guys remember this show?
Yes. I was never really that into it, but I think it just landed at a bad time.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw a couple episodes of it just kind of just sitting on there.
Yeah. See, as a kid, I didn't really care for it when it was on originally, but it's actually kind of interesting to go back and watch it. It was released at that weird point in time where... there was like a clean distinction between Cartoon Network days and Adult Swim Cartoon Network nights.
Yeah, now they kind of ease into it.
They ease you into it. This was like maybe the beginning of like that halfway transitionary kind of thing, and no one knew what to do with it. Like if this show came out like maybe 4 or 5 years later, it would have had like 4 or 5 seasons. As it stands, it had 2 seasons. I mean,
that's
not
bad.
It had 26 episodes.
It's more than Tuca and Birdie got.
Yeah, right. But that's a bummer that got canceled. But Mega's XLR is about a warrior from the future that travels into the far past to fight an alien menace with her giant fighting robot, except she gets separated from the robot and these two meatheads find it in a junkyard and he rebuilds it with like an old Camaro and replace the head and like game controllers for like the controls. And it's really interesting. All of the monsters, all of the giant robots that they fight, everything. It's a comedy show more than anything, but they're all the robots and monsters and stuff are references to other giant robots and a lot of anime stuff as well as like American, Transformers.
I remember watching it. It had a weird kind of pseudo Americanization of anime style to
That's kind of what it was. Yeah. And not just in look, but in tone.
Which would have immediately turned me off back in the day during that time.
You know what? Same here. But like there's at one point there's a MODOK reference. Bruce Campbell plays an alien with a giant head and tiny arms, and his robot gets into a giant robot with a chainsaw arm. Like it's that level of references. Yeah.
So it's MODOK on top of Evil Dead. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. Voiced by the guy himself. They have very light Evangelion references, mostly kind of in one of the monster's designs is very like very thin and like very like designed that way.
That would have been about that same timeline too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of robots that are just straight up Autobots. Like the original head for the Mega's robot is Optimus Prime's head. They got away with somehow using like all the different controllers that the guy uses in the car. They look like Xbox and PlayStation controllers. Nice. Like they got away with that. Like I said, if this show came out and they are two steps away, like the two guys that find the robot and build it into a car are two steps away from being Jay and Silent Bob.
Which fits in with the time the show came out.
Yeah, and they constantly reference the big guy that ends up piloting the robot, how he loves food and he's always eating. And like I said, about 5 years later, they probably could have done something where it was more in line with the original creator's ideas, which they were stoners. They were high school dropout stoners that just find a giant robot from the future.
The only thing I remember about it is I think it had a Strong Bad reference in it also.
It did.
They did a double deuce reference.
They did do a double deuce. A lot of the music, again, given the time frame that the show was made, it's a lot of bad metal and ska.
Yeah, that tracks.
So it's kind of right up my alley. Giant robots and ska. Okay, I'm in. But it's fun. It's worth going back and checking out if you can find it. There's never going to be, this is kind of interesting, there's never going to be a reboot or anything else from the property come out, because when it was canceled, not only was it canceled, Turner wrote the show off as a loss when they did their taxes, so that if they ever put out a DVD or if they ever do a sequel or a movie or anything like that and it turns a profit, they have to go through and pay back taxes because it no longer is a loss. So the show is trapped in a limbo that it can never escape from.
A legal government limbo.
Tax-based in hell.
Yeah, pretty much. And I guess the if you talk to any of the creators at like cons, because they do cons, they've done other stuff. Two of them went on and formed Titmouse, the animation studio.
You can't say that on this show.
Well, it's all right.
Which does a lot of the Adult Swim William Street stuff.
Yeah.
They did Metalocalypse.
Mm-hmm. They're tied in with Venture Brothers pretty heavily.
The studios themselves.
But you could talk to those guys at cons, and they are very open and vocal about how they got screwed by Cartoon Network because they loved that show. It was like
Their dream show.
All of the designs are people that they knew. Like all the human characters are just like people that they knew that they're like, hey, I'm going to put you in this show. It's going to be great. So yeah, really interesting stuff. All right. Well, hey, let's go ahead and take a break here. And when we come back, we'll get into some news.
Hey everybody, we're back. That was Kiss's Rock and Roll All Night featuring Gene Simmons of Kiss, who'd like to introduce you to Paul Stanley of Kiss.
Who'd like to introduce you to a very drunk Ace Frehley of Kiss. No, we watched a bunch of Kiss videos, and there's one where the guys kept messing up a promo, and it was pretty funny.
It's very relatable for us.
Yeah. Currently, yes.
What do you mean? I've never messed up a promo and done things like get the radio station's call numbers wrong.
All right, so hey, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of news, and the reason why we played the Kiss song this week is, oddly enough, it ties in with Pokemon.
Yeah, it's weird. Would have never guessed. You never would have guessed. Does.
Yeah. So Pokemon Sword and Shield had another short trailer drop the other day. It was a very short one that wasn't like a whole like press conference or anything.
It wasn't like a Nintendo Direct. It was like a minute trailer.
Yeah, but it showed off like five or six new Pokemon or different forms of Pokemon. One of them being a new evolution of a previously known one that ends up looking a lot like a Kiss Army member.
Yeah, kind of what they did with Sun and Moon is they had like versions of Pokemon that already existed, but they look slightly different due to evolutionary whatever.
Because they lived in a different environment.
Yes. Yeah, and they're doing the same thing with Pokemon Sword and Shield with the Galar region, with a reskinning of
Zigzagoon.
Zigzagoon, yeah. Yes.
Zigzagoon and its evolution Linoon.
Yep, and it's getting a third version, which it never had before.
Yeah.
Which is an upright standing black and white Gene Simmons monster.
Yeah, it's called like Ornagoon or something.
Obstagoon.
Obstagoon, that's it.
Which is a great name.
It's a really good name. But yeah, it's pretty wild looking. I kind of dig it a lot.
Yeah, one of the things that makes it look like Kiss is the regular Zigzagoon is kind of a brown and brown.
Yeah, brown on brown.
Yeah, like raccoon looking thing. And then the new one looks kind of like badgers.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the thing they did, they got rid of the bandit mask and put stars over the eyes.
Yeah, and it's black and white.
And then when
it evolves, it turns into like it has like football armor kind of.
Yep, it's got like silver armor and it's taking its tongue out. It's like, okay, that's a Kiss reference.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is weird because Galar is very UK, Britain, and Kiss is from New York.
Yeah. Along with that, there was a new form of the original Pokemon Weezing,
yep,
which is pretty rad.
Yep, the Weezing has a top hat with smoke coming out of it.
Mm-hmm. Looks like a cross between a smokestack and a stovepipe hat.
Yep.
Top hat, which is and fantastic.
And has mm-hmm. smoke clouds around its mouth that looks like a beard and mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And gameplay-wise, it's a poison and fairy type, which is a matchup they I don't think they've ever done that one.
Yeah.
And lore-wise, it's poison and fairy because it takes smog in through its mouth, purifies it, and spits it out through the top of the smokestack.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Which right is on. Pretty neat.
That is cool. I like the little lore bits. I think that's really cool.
I think it fits for the kind of industrial revolutionary, like mm-hmm. Dickensian
yeah.
London they kind of want to shoot it for.
Yeah.
Yeah. The third Pokemon they showed off was a little hamster looking guy.
It's very Pikachu.
It's very Pikachu looking.
Like, I forget what it's called already.
Yeah.
It's like mono
something.
Yeah, it's like name changes.
Yeah,
too.
Josh, you look that up, but yep. It's like every gen there's a Pikachu kind of analog character. Like there was one that was an ice electric squirrel from a couple generations like ago.
Parakizu or whatever.
Yeah, Pachirisu.
Yeah.
And then there was like there've been different.
There's one with little Mickey Mouse ears.
Yeah. Yeah. This one is electric dark. And it has this thing where if it doesn't eat like every other turn or something like that, it changes forms into what is being called hangry mode. And it gets like more aggressive.
Yes. The Pokemon's name is Morpheko.
Okay.
Morpheko. Morpeko.
Okay.
So it's got Morph Echo in it.
Oh, yeah. Like more Pico. Okay. Yeah.
More Peko, like peckish.
Yeah. I think that's what they're getting at. But it's kind of a neat little.
Yeah. Yeah,
gimmick that it does.
Yeah, he's a cute little hamster with round pink cheeks, but one thing makes him different, he gets hangry. It has full belly mode, where he's yellow and brown, but then it gets hangry mode, where it turns purple and black.
And angry looking.
Yeah, he looks like a cross between a Gengar, a Pikachu, and a Crobat's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like move wheel changes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, beyond the new Pokemon, they also revealed the kind of villain team. Again, it's a staple of Pokemon games to have like a bad guy team. The most notable one is Team Rocket. That's the one that seems to keep coming back over and over. Although Sun and Moon had the Team Skull, which were like rappers, kind
of,
right?
Yeah, they were fantastic.
They were pretty great.
Yeah, well, like the musical cues were very like, you know,
mm-hmm.
like beatboxy type.
Yeah. They were super good. This gen, The villain team is called Team Yell, and it is incredibly on the nose. They are soccer hooligans.
Basically.
Just straight up soccer hooligans.
Well, they're like a toxic fandom mm-hmm. of one of the other new characters they revealed.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like the one of your rivals in the game has inspired these fans or whatever.
Mm-hmm. One of the bad guys has a Vuvuzela, and that is amazing to me.
It's a double-barreled one,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, super great.
It's the worst of the kind.
And it's got little fangs. I wonder if there's going to be some sort of Vuvuzela Pokemon
that
looks kind of like that.
That would be good. Yeah, I like that.
But they look like a cross between soccer hooligans and British punk fashion.
Yeah, there's definitely
like,
some
like
punk
the
stuff
leather
in there.
Jacket thing, and they have like makeup across their eyes.
And a lot of spikes.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Pokemon, it continues to look great, and I still can't wait for this game to come out.
November can't come fast enough.
Yeah.
What is it, November 15th,
Something like that. Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to our next topic. Let's do a non-game one, because this episode feels kind of game-heavy so far.
Well, yeah, the news is where it falls.
Yeah. But so on the CW, they have a bunch of superhero shows.
They have their own little superhero connected CW universe.
Yeah. So like The Flash and Arrow and Legends of Tomorrow and now Batwoman.
Supergirl. Although she's in a different dimension, but it's still part, it's still part of it.
And Black Lightning. Black Lightning's in there too.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing like a big, huge cross-continuity crossover episode to kind of not only like bring people back in because I think their stats have been kind of waning a little bit.
Which,
their viewership.
I mean, they've been kind of doing the same thing for
a
long time now.
Yeah. And it also is going to be kind of a wrap up of
Arrow.
Yeah, this is its final season, but they're calling it the Crisis of Infinite Earths,
which is a callback to a very famous DC comic storyline.
Right, exactly. But they are bringing in everybody who's ever been any kind of superhero that they can get a hold of.
Basically.
Yeah. Like, because, you know, they can do any, they can pull people from any universe they want. They have, well, they have like Brandon Routh,
who's already on the CW as
the Atom.
As the Atom, but he's also reprising his role as Superman.
Superman from Superman Returns.
Which, yeah, that movie gets a lot of bad rap. I kind of like that movie.
It's okay. It's all right.
It's a love letter to the Gene Hackman, and
it's the best modern Superman we've gotten.
Right?
That's not saying a whole lot, but...
True. I think he's supposed to be the Superman that's from the Supergirl universe.
No, there's a different Superman.
Oh, is there?
Yes, there is. Yeah,
yeah, they've okay. cast... He's been in a
handful of episodes.
Like I said, I'm so far behind on the CW thing.
They had a poster that said, Superman is coming on Supergirl, which...
That's not...
Phrasing,
yes. Anyway, the big news is they have cast... And one... Okay, so one of the missing kind of people from the various CW shows has been Batman. Batman has been notably absent.
He's been playfully?
Yes.
I don't think they're allowed to have Batman.
But, well, they are now because... Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman from Batman, the animated series.
You mean Batman?
He's Batman, yeah. is going to be appearing on screen as old Bruce Wayne from a parallel future.
Which is technically Batman, but not quite Batman.
Right. Yeah.
He's retired Batman.
Yeah.
He's older retired Batman, and he's doing the Batman voice, and it's going to be super great. I mean, it's only like a little cameo.
Which is like definitely feels like a callback to the Batman Beyond.
Yes, and that's
animated series.
I think what they're doing is a Batwoman Beyond, like a future of Batwoman, so that they can do like a Terry McGinnis style costume with.
Because it looks
similar.
They did in almost like a parallel news story. They did release from the Batman Beyond comic. There is a Batwoman in his continuity.
Yeah. Yeah. And along with Kevin Conroy, Mark Hamill is going to be appearing on screen as an older Joker doing the Joker voice.
Which is rad.
So the Joker.
Yeah. This is so exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the first time he's quote unquote appeared as the Joker in a live action thing. He was the voice of a very blurry Joker from like the first episode of the really awful Birds of Prey series.
That's very true. He's also been the Trickster on The Flash multiple times, both the John Wesley Shipp one from the 90s and the current one.
Yes.
Which is interesting because John Wesley Shipp has shown up as his 90s version of The Flash on The Flash, which is great.
He also, I want to say, obviously Conroy and Mark Hamill have a very decorated history in DC animated features. Mm-hmm. I mean, Conroy's pretty much just done Batman, but Mark Hamill's done a lot of characters.
Yeah, which I think he said he was retiring from the Joker, but he said that a couple times.
He said that a couple times,
and they always bring him back.
He's also said that about Luke Skywalker, and here we are. So, you know, you throw enough money at a person, retirement.
Nobody really dies.
No one's ever really gone.
Yeah, nobody's ever really gone.
But no, this is really exciting news. It's kind of neat. I have dropped off of the CW stuff for quite a while.
Oh, me as well.
But I don't know. This might draw me back in.
I remember watching the first couple episodes of Supergirl back before it got canceled, then re-picked up by the CW. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wish Constantine would come back. I mean, he's popped in once or twice within the Arrowverse.
Yeah.
I kind of would like to see him come back.
And he probably will. It's one of those things where they're going to get everybody they possibly can. Yeah.
I liked the Constantine series. I was really sad when it was canceled.
I wish it would have been on the CW to begin with so it wouldn't get canceled.
Yeah. That is a show that either should have been on the CW from the beginning or like a sci-fi channel kind of thing. It would have really flourished on a non-mainstream,
They could have put it up next to Supernatural or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
I feel like Constantine might have been a better pull than the Legends of Tomorrow. That's just my personal opinion. I could not get into Legends of Tomorrow.
Well, they wanted to do Legends of Tomorrow basically because the guys from Prison Break that play Captain Cold and Heatwave are too much fun in those roles, and they wanted to give them something to do.
Yeah.
Because I for the life of me, I don't know the actor's name, but the guy who plays Captain Cold plays him like he pretends like he is a criminal mastermind, like, you know, spouting like all these esoteric philosophy on crime and stuff, and it's just so over the top, and like he chews so much scenery, it's
Wentworth Miller.
Wentworth Miller, yeah. And the guy is normally like a serious actor, like for the most part. I mean, Prison Break was a very serious show.
Oh, yeah.
But he gets to kind of be just this goof, this scenery chewing goof, like the entire time. It's fantastic.
At times it feels like as much as like the Warner Brothers is almost ashamed of the comic book roots of some of their characters they try to put out, some of the CW stuff almost like, it's almost kind of like they don't care.
They embrace it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Legends of Tomorrow is very goofy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's super campy.
Yeah.
I mean, at times Supergirl was, from what little bits I saw.
Supergirl was pretty goofy at times. Flash, at least those first
Flash
couple seasons.
Flash in the beginning was great.
It was, yeah. Arrow was always serious. And
yeah, like, Arrow was always like, you could definitely tell they wanted a Batman series, but they...
Although about four seasons in, they changed his name to Green Arrow, and they Starling City became Star City, and yeah. He like lightened up. It's like, they were like, okay, fine, here's your Green Arrow, whatever. Take him.
Arrow was never intentionally funny.
No, he was always kind of a goof in the comics.
Like, I mean, like the TV show was never intentionally funny.
Right.
But it was often funny.
It was often. That's very true.
I mean, at times there were some pretty good like references or digs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
I wish at some point he would have had like his dumb goatee and like the Robin Hood-esque stupid hat.
And for all we know, he could end up with that by the end of this series. That would be kind of great.
Or he's just going to end up dead.
Well, that's probably, like all bad writers, the only way they know how to end their series is to kill off their main character.
I did see where they reached out to some of the Smallville cast.
Sure.
Yeah. And I guess some of them are a little...
You got to watch out for which one of those you get back.
I don't think the one they're getting back.
Yeah, I don't think Chloe's coming back anytime soon.
No, I think she's in prison.
Yeah, I don't think she's... But it would be kind of neat to see Kristen Kruitt come back, even
I think they
she didn't do much.
They actually, from what the article I read, they were talking to the dude who played Lex Luthor.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, that would be fitting. He was also the voice of the Flash on Justice League.
Oh, he was, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes that episode where Lex Luthor inhabits the Flash's body even better.
Oh yeah, that's one of my favorite like lines of dialogue.
I have no idea who this is.
at least I can figure out, you know, the Flash's secret identity. Takes the hood off, looks in the mirror, goes, I have no idea who this is. It's great. It's super good. All right, well, let's go ahead and move on. We were talking about all sorts of like animation and stuff, so let's talk about the Addams Family.
Do-do-do-do.
There was a new trailer for the animated
movie,
family comedy, Addams Family movie. I mean, it continues to look like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
To be completely honest. Like, and the big draw this time is that Snoop Dogg is voicing Cousin It, which, I mean, why not?
Yeah, okay. I don't think Cousin It ever... Did he ever speak?
He just makes noises.
Okay.
And it's just Snoop Dogg making noises. So. Oh,
okay, I'm fine with that. That's... Yeah.
At first, I was like, why is Snoop Dogg voicing Cousin It? And then I was like, why isn't Snoop Dogg voicing Cousin It? Like, there's
yeah.
Maybe they just put a microphone next to his bed and they just recorded, like, the sounds he made when he slept.
I mean, they could have.
They could have for all that, yeah. But yeah, this...
snooze, nizzle, nizzle.
Oh, no.
Cousin It with the double T.
Oh, God. But yeah, this Addams Family, it looks really good.
It looks like the old...
The original...
art style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The New Yorker,
yeah.
Like, art.
Yeah, the character designs are, like, spot on. Mm-hmm. I mean, Oscar Isaac's going to be great as Gomez.
Oh, yeah, he definitely feels like he's channeling Raul Julia for it.
For sure. The only thing... I wish they didn't... I like Oscar Isaac's in the role. I wish they didn't waste him for the animated movie.
Yeah,
when he would right? be so good as a live action.
He's such a great
Gomez
actor.
Addams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I can think of in recent memory that's like a besmirch on his filmography or whatever.
Don't say Last Jedi.
No. Was Apocalypse. That's not his fault.
Oh, yeah. That's not his fault. They made so many changes from
and
the time he signed on to that.
And
to...
so much bad writing.
Yeah.
Like, I was really excited when he was cast and I was like, hey, cool. And I'm like, and then I saw the movie and it made me sad.
Yeah. Oh, did you see they pushed back the New Mutants again?
Oh, did they?
Another year? Jeez. That movie's never going to get released. So New Mutants is this as it's the last Fox X-Men adjacent movie that they're doing.
It's the last hurrah for Fox's X-Men.
Yeah, and it's kind of a weird one. It's more of a horror movie than it is an X-Men movie. It has a whole new cast and everything.
Which is kind of the log line for Legion, but
a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, but it just keeps getting delayed over and over again, and I don't know why.
I think maybe it's because Marvel just released a slew of new X-Men books.
That could be.
And
you're right.
And those new books from the articles I've been reading are basically rewriting the history of the X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Like Professor X is back and the X-Men are now planet hopping.
Yes.
To find a suitable mutant friendly space to live in since they really can't live on Earth anymore. Or sort of. There was something that basically killed off mutants a while ago and made New Mutants being born almost impossible.
Well, I that sounds like an older storyline. I thought
it was like post Civil War.
Okay, because this one sounds like the ones that they're writing now. There has been they are planet hopping and they're doing all this stuff.
It's like a living tree portal thing. They kind of
Krakoa. That is from the All New X-Men.
Yeah,
from back in the 70s when they introduced Storm and Wolverine and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, I thought the whole deal was there were reports that came out that said that within 20 years, mutants are going to be the dominant species. So Professor X and Magneto are like, okay, I guess we're in charge now. Here we go. And they're like change. And there's like time travel shenanigans that change some things.
I can't remember. It's been so long since I've read an X-Men book.
I should actually pick up a couple of those.
This sounds so convoluted.
Oh, it's
welcome to X-Men continuity. Where nothing makes sense and changes constantly.
In the new books, yeah, there is some time jumping stuff because there's in the first book, there's a part where young Xavier meets Moira. Mm-hmm. There's the Sentinel future.
Yeah.
And there is a far, far future.
Far future, yeah.
And it's like, it's so weird. That's all in the first book.
I'll just stick to watching the animated series over and over.
Yeah, there we go. You're good there. You know what? The animated series did a better job explaining some of those major storylines from X-Men than the comics ever did. Like, it is more concise. Like, they were forced to have to chop out the fat in a lot of that stuff. So,
Were basically just following what big storylines were happening at the time the show was being made.
I think Phoenix Saga is better on the cartoon than it is.
Oh, it's never been done right.
But it's better in the cartoon than it has been in any other media form, including the comics, because it was so convoluted and weird.
Man. Remember when a bunch of non-X-Men got the Phoenix Force and became a literal fighting force called the Phoenix Force?
Phoenix 5.
Or something like that. Yeah,
it was
like,
the Phoenix 5.
It was Hope Summers and Namor, Colossus. There was a bunch.
Cyclops, Colossus, White Queen, and then two more.
I always forget that Namor is a mutant, technically. Yeah.
Technically, yes, because he doesn't have blue skin.
He is the first mutant.
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to save Oscar Isaac Gomez for a live-action movie, mm-hmm. they could have just used Lin-Manuel Miranda for the animated one.
Oh, yeah, they could. That would have been just as good.
He would have made a great Gomez, I feel like.
He would have.
True.
Yeah. Although, Lin-Manuel could do a good live-action Gomez, too.
Yeah.
It would definitely be played a little differently, but it could be done.
Yeah, I feel like he... Outside of like who they cast anyway, it feels like Lin-Manuel has like been super busy. Like he's got like a billion projects going on.
Oh yeah, he's a popular dude.
He is a very popular dude.
He's either writing something or he's starring in something or he's starring in something that he wrote.
Yeah, pretty much. And he still makes time to talk to the McElroy brothers from time to time. Did you see that video that of Kristen Bell freaking out when she saw Lin-Manuel at like E3 or something, or not E3, San Diego Comic-Con or something like that. And he's standing there talking to the McElroys.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's hilarious. Very funny.
Like Justin and Travis are like in frame. Like, yeah, they are. Funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
See what else we got? We got, in kind of video game related news, we got famous Twitch stream boy Ninja.
You know, everyone's favorite Fortniter.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this man.
I don't know either.
All I really knew is he was one of the most popular Twitch streamers on the platform.
He has blue hair.
Sometimes.
He's got to have blue hair.
Yeah. He abandoned Twitch for Microsoft platform called Mixer, which I'm sure this might be the first time you've ever heard of it.
Yeah, this is new to me.
I only knew of it tangentially through Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, and I only knew of it because there was a tab on my Xbox that said Mixer. I'm like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, this is...
It's Microsoft's Twitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting news in that...
Now everybody knows what Mixer is.
Yeah, pretty much.
And just how much money they offered him to switch over and be exclusive, which you know is just a boatload.
Oh, they had, yeah.
Microsoft probably gave him so much money.
The way I'm kind of seeing it is he might have, like, if you were so super duper popular and making so much money on a known platform, why would you abandon that? Unless, yeah, one, you're given a boatload of money, and two, maybe he's starting to see Fortnite drop a little bit, or starting to see that his popularity is starting, his numbers are starting to drop a little bit.
Or at least plateau.
Yeah. And this switch to Mixer is a way to guarantee funds. Whereas if he continues on Twitch, that money's not necessarily guaranteed.
True.
And when he's working directly with Microsoft like that, I'm sure it comes with a lot of perks.
Oh yeah,
in the way of getting things early.
That guy's never going to have to buy a gaming PC again. Oh, he's going to have top of the line everything from now on.
Well, I feel like this also was a strategic part on Microsoft's.
Sure,
it was a smart move on Microsoft because honestly. Yeah,
they took a huge hit this generation on consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Xbox One, One S, and all that stuff has not sold as well as other systems. They haven't had as many exclusives. They haven't even had as many, you know, games really pushing for them.
Which is a shame, because as soon as I got an Xbox for real cheap, and it's actually pretty great.
And I feel like they're generating buzz and talk, like, hey, look what we got. Which was a big hit to Twitch. Mm-hmm. I mean, they lost their biggest earner.
Yeah, he was their cash cow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it just leaves a vacuum for more, for the next...
Ninja. Ninja probably could have streamed in as many public bathrooms as he wanted, and Twitch wouldn't have did anything.
In a kind of a side move, Twitch has been using Ninja's old Twitch channel to showcase other
streamers.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's smart.
Yeah. Hopefully that Paladin Amber girl, who is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
She is really funny. I do like her.
Yeah. Did we talk about her last week?
No.
She kind of went viral by calling out creeps in her chat,
which is
during
good.
Her streams in very funny ways.
Mm-hmm. Like creating like fake infomercials.
Yeah. Or like breaking news graphics coming on the screen. It's very funny. You should look it up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, it's a smart move on both of their parts. I just wonder if the bigger picture is we're going to start seeing Fortnite wane in popularity.
It's already crumbled a little bit.
Yeah.
It already hit its peak. Like there's no way it could be any more popular than it was.
That's true.
Like I read the numbers, and while it's still super popular, it did take a big hit when Apex came out.
But for then, like an hour.
Yeah. And then Apex leveled off really hard.
Yeah, nobody talks about Apex anymore.
Fun game.
I don't like that kind of game. It doesn't matter what coat of paint they put on it, I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's still popular, but even Fortnite itself is changing a lot of things in its own game, and it's not even quite the same anymore.
They put a mech in it the other day.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and people lost their minds because they feel it's very broken. It's like the sword all over again. Heck, there's a part of the map that you can't even build or destroy property on.
That's weird.
Yeah, which is like one of the big like things of like the mechanics of their game.
Yeah, it's like if Minecraft had an area where you can't mine or craft.
Right.
Yeah, and though it feels more like a standard shooter at that point, you know, in that part of the map anyway.
Mm.
I don't know. I haven't played Fortnite in such a long time. I don't even care. But
it's just not for me.
I'm starting to wonder if maybe we're hitting the peak of this gaming fad with Fortnite, and it's like we're gonna move on to the next thing. Like MMOs were the big thing for a time, MOBAs were the big thing for a time.
Yeah, and then we're on Battle Royale. Yeah,
now we're on Battle Royale time.
It is about time for something else.
It is. Fingers crossed. Fighting games. Hoping it's fighting games. I would love to be in the majority of of gaming culture for once.
I don't I'm sorry.
It's not.
I don't think it's gonna.
It's never gonna happen.
They're too niche, and they've always been. They've always had a healthy niche, but I don't think they're just too complicated to play at a in a competitive level.
Yeah,
like if you're really good at Fortnite, people can understand. Well, it's because he shot.
He shot real good.
He aimed good. He shot good. When you're really good at fighting game, it's like, well, it's because he punched on this specific frame
during the
other person's invulnerability frames during his invincibility frames.
Exactly. Yeah, you gotta learn about iframes and what is plus three on block and it's
I'll roll for initiative.
It'll always have its super big hardcore niche, but it's too much. Although I could be wrong. Because people loved MOBAs, and I can't parse anything that's going on in those. Oh,
yeah,
I can't tell
you. Yeah.
So maybe I'm wrong. Yeah. Now that I think about it, fighting games could be popular.
There were so many MOBAs. There were so many.
Yeah.
It just look like a lot of colored lights shooting around and like a little small guys running at each other. I have no idea what any of it is. I just
can't. Yeah.
That's the first time like I felt like gaming wise, it's like, man, I'm old now because I have no idea what this is.
Yeah.
I'm getting yelled at by an 8-year-old for not staying in my lane.
Yeah. What is lane?
What does that mean? Yeah.
Stop feeding them.
Everybody knows the number one rule of MOBAs is don't feed them after midnight.
Or get them wet, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And with that, we have to go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
Go like that Facebook page. We've been regurgitating news there if you want the latest pop culture news.
Yeah, you know, people seem to really like it. And I want to thank Parker for helping us out with that. He's been finding some really good stuff for us.
Yep, he's definitely part of the team.
Our silent Parker. I was gonna say silent partner Parker.
No, he'll dig that. He loves bad puns.
Okay. Yeah, our silent Parker. Thank you. You can send us an email, staff@nerdoverload.com, with questions, comments, concerns, rants about the national deck. Sure. Whatever you want. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
That's right. We're also on various podcast catchers like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. So you can check out any of our back episodes over there.
We have over 200 and...
This is episode 240.
Wow.
We are up here.
I counted up the hours so far, like that we have. You can listen to us continuously for over a week now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't go back more than 20 episodes.
I mean, I'd appreciate the downloads, but don't do that. Yeah. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/nerdoverloadnow. If you like the show and if you want to help support us, you know, check that out. Also, you'll get the episode a few days early, which is pretty cool. And finally, we have t-shirts. We have a store page. Just go to our main page and click the store link.
Yep, there's some good designs up there.
Mm-hmm.
Search Believe Psychic Paranormal Adventure on Steam. That's my game. Give it a wish list.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's coming out in October, which is getting closer and closer and closer.
Do you feel it? Do you feel it, Mr. Krabs?
All right. Well, hey, thanks again for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Peace out.